Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Eamstra. Today is Monday, October 30th, 2023. This morning I will talk about a cautionary tale. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Blessed Lord Jesus, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you've given us your Holy Spirit and the Scriptures for our guidance. Forgive us when we seek to enhance our own social position in the church, find excuses to divide into factions, and lean on our own understanding. Thank you for sound teaching, ears that hear, and eyes that see. May we never wander from the faith. In the power of your Holy Spirit, draw us together in unity and revive the faith of our friends and family who have wandered off. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4, we read, "Our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink." In the context of discussing the eating of food offered to idols, his rights as a worker in the church, and personal discipline, the Apostle Paul tells a most curious tale about the people of Israel during their time in the wilderness. During this time, they followed the Shekinah cloud. They were collectively baptized in crossing the Red Sea, and they ate spiritual food, that is manna, and drank spiritual water from the rock. Yet still they sinned and came under God's judgment. The immediate reason that Paul offered this message was about food sacrificed to idols, but the implications extend further. In spite of the advantages of good genes and a spiritual life, the people of Israel sinned and came under judgment. The obvious parallel is with the church in baptism and communion and other blessings. In the case of food offered to idols, Paul concludes, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up." This is 1 Corinthians 10:23. Paul mentions law twice in his conclusion. Righteousness under law is a matter of not breaking the law, a measure of holiness. But Paul measures conduct in his statement with the words helpful and built up. These are measures not of holiness, that is, being set apart by law, but of godliness, being set apart by grace. Sacrificing food to idols is meaningless for a Christian, but it is not helpful. Others might see you and be led astray, and it does not build up the church. What are you doing in a pagan temple? Paul again concludes, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." This is 1 Corinthians 10:31. This discussion of food sacrificed to idols and the caveats implicit in the tale of the people of Israel functions as a lengthy prologue to Paul's discussion of communion. In 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, we read, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The key phrase that introduces the Lord's Supper is "do all to the glory of God." Just like the Israelite people were not saved by their genealogy and spirituality, neither are Christians. In taking communion, we remember Jesus Christ and glorify God according to Paul. Salvation is through faith in Christ by grace. Again, Paul offers advice subtly through analogy to the experience of the people of Israel in the wilderness and a discussion of food offered to idols. Paul's reference to baptism cited above is fascinating. He writes, "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." This is 1 Corinthians 10:2. The people of Israel were baptized both by the Shekinah cloud and by the sea. This ties baptism to the Holy Spirit, much like the Apostle Peter did on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:38 we read, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This same link between baptism and the Holy Spirit appears elsewhere in Paul's writing. In Ephesians 4:4-6, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all." I used to think that the Holy Spirit came into our lives like a direct telephone connection to God. God's omnipresence became more real. But I gave up that idea because of the first instance of prayer in Genesis, which was to a Gentile king, Abimelech, in Genesis 20, who obviously had no previous connection to God. Now, rather than connection, I see the Holy Spirit playing provisioning, sustaining, and formative roles in our lives. For the early church, baptism apparently posed some problems, both because of interpretation and association. Paul writes in Romans 6:3-4, "Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in newness of life." Here Paul sees Jesus' baptism as part of a template that we as Christians must follow. He also uses this template in Philippians 3:10. Elsewhere, Paul finds some thinking that baptism implied following the baptizer. In 1 Corinthians 1:13 and 14 we read, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gallius." Unity of the church required careful instruction, as in the cite from Ephesians above. Between the quote from Peter in Acts 2 and that of Paul in Romans 6, we see the two primary interpretations of baptism. Baptism as washing away of sin and as participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Both are widely held views today. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.